Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord, we confess our sin before you. Lord, I confess my sin before you and my church family. I ask that you forgive me my daily sins. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us this morning. Lord, we confess that oftentimes we make missions into just things we want to do in your name. But Lord, may we make it about the Great Commission for your glory alone. I pray that my church family would hear from you and not from me, from your word, not my thoughts. And Father, I pray these things, and I ask these things in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. And if you're awake this morning, say, Happy Thanksgiving. Because that's about where about half of our church is right now, somewhere out there enjoying an early Thanksgiving. I called Pastor Poole this week four times because we were talking about the what and who of missions. And he said, Brett, why do you keep calling me? And I said, because I don't know if you know this or not, because you're the resident expert at missions. You've been on both sides of the desk. He was a pastor here for 11, 12 years, and he's been a missionary for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. Is that about the roundabout? And I said, so you're our expert. Plus, I don't know if you know this, but Trinity Baptist has sainted you. Everything you do and everything you say is just instantly canonized at Trinity. If I said this room was brown, there would be people who disagreed with me until I said, but Pastor Poole thinks it's brown too. And then they go, yeah, I guess I do see that. And he says, wow, you're making me feel important. I said, well, don't go that far. And we worked through this message together. Because what you're about to hear, you're going to need your spiritual steel-tipped shoes on. Because we'll be challenging where we are in our hearts and our understanding and our purpose of missions. So if you have any disagreements or any concerns, I do have Pastor Poole's number, and you can call him. No, I'm teasing. Last time we were together, we started with Why Missions, a series on where missions begins. And what we found from God's Word is that mission starts, I got to take this off, mission starts here at Trinity Baptist Church with one another. Mission starts by prioritizing the bride of Christ and not its bridesmaids. Mission starts by investing our spiritual gifts into one another so that we might grow and mature in this holy faith and then go out into the workplace, go out into the playgrounds, go out into our schools, but more importantly, go out into the world and make disciples for Jesus Christ. My friends, missions begins and ends and rests on a healthy foundation of a vibrant, bride-prioritizing, gospel-loving, gospel-living foundation that is a Christ-loving church. For it is the church that God chose to display the great manifold wisdom of God. Amen? It starts here. And with all this said, now that we have a healthy foundation of where missions begins, the next two most reasonable questions are what is missions and who should the church send out to the mission field? Now, this is a big picture general view, I need you to understand that, of what missions is. It is designed to set helpful and healthy boundaries and general guidelines that prioritizes what the church must be doing. It is not a detailed, exhausted exchange of ideas at a macro level, if you will. So let us start with the former question. What is missions? Now, before I go forward, I've got to make sure that you have your spiritual steel-tipped shoes on, all right? Because this will touch on some of our pet peeves, some of our desires, some of our wants, but it's not about what we want. It is about what God has declared. Amen, church? That's what it is all about. So for that, I ask for your grace and your mercy and all of your anger be pointed more towards Missouri where Pastor Poole is at. Because I'm just the messenger, folks. No, I did this. So what is missions? Let me say it another way. What does it mean to support missions within the context of the church? And what is a missionary? Over the years, the term missionary has become as wide as the ocean. It went from a person being sent from the church to communicate the gospel to those who have not heard it, to now encompassing every good thing a Christian wants to do, from social action to environmental protection to Christian schools, from cleaning services and social justice programs and administrative support, all the way, and I tell you no lie, to missionary to the missionaries. Allow that to simmer for a moment. Missionaries to the missionaries. We now have these things. Christians encouraging Christians. And while all of this may be good, and all of it might be well, is it all missions? I would contend with conviction, no! It has come to the point where anything we want to do, to anywhere we want to go, to anything we want to be supported is now deemed missions, so that we might be able to raise support from others and churches. My friends, here it is. If everything is missions, then nothing is. My friends, just because it's a nonprofit venture does not make it missions. And just because you feel called by God to do it does not mean the church should support it. Oh, do you have your steel-tipped shoes on? Here we go. Now, this is not to say that all these things are not good or that they're not important. They are. They are. But the question is, what is missions within the context of the local New Testament church? Not what is Christian ministry, not what is personal evangelism, not what is local outreach and living out your faith and doing the Great Commission in your day-to-day lives. We should all be doing this every day. The question is, what is missions? And here it is, what is the biblical definition of a missionary sent out by the church? That is the context in which we are looking at. Well, we are all to be going into the mission field. You know that old sign they put above your door, you are now entering into the mission field? I'm not saying that isn't true. Of course it is. But what we're looking at here is, what is the biblical definition of a missionary sent out and supported by the church? Now that gets much more specific. But you want to know what? Oftentimes, the goal of missions has got lost as well. Sarah's song spoke to this well. We become more interested in the temporal than the eternal. Now, Christians should be concerned about the temporal, material needs of all human beings. Food and water and shelter and compassion and equal rights and the help of many kinds. In fact, James, within the book of James, said it very well when he said, religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted from the world, to help those who are in greatest need. As Christians, we should not have to choose between the physical and the spiritual. We should be concerned about the temporal and physical needs and sufferings of our fellow human beings. But hear this, never, never at the abandonment of the need to be rescued from spiritual suffering. Missions, if we are to call it that at all, must never cut out the importance of addressing the spiritual suffering of man that he faces without accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Piper said it well when he said this, Christians should care about all suffering, but especially the eternal suffering, else we have a defective heart and a flameless hell. All this to say that missions must be, here it is, missions must be primarily spiritual. Primarily spiritual. Missions is not about social activism or ensuring a minimum wage, but rather it is about communicating a gospel that saves. It is the sole reason the church sends missionaries today. It is why God put us here on this earth. For if we are convinced that eternal suffering in hell is the most malicious of all human suffering, what else would we prioritize? Hope you have your shoes on. Here it is. Missions is not about teaching Christians to become better Christians. That is the primary role of the church. Missions is about bringing people who do not know Jesus Christ into the body of Christ. God's word is clear. The church and missions are to recycle themselves into each other for continued growth. The church is to edify and build up the gospel-loving believers and then send some out to proclaim the gospel, discipling those who receive the gospel by faith back into a local church, who in return does this over and over and over and over again. And then there are more missionaries, and the church grows, and the body of Christ grows, and they pump out Bible-loving missionaries who reach people, who push them back into the church, and they're discipled and matured and grow, and then they send more out. My friends, do you know how many churches are supporting people on their missions budget that are not missionaries? We have relegated missions and its support to those we know and love, regardless of what they are doing or where they are doing it at. This cannot be the prism in which we evaluate in what we call missions. Missions is about obeying the Great Commission, not supporting everyone we love who happens to have a mission. Now grab this. But Pastor, I have been called to start a doggy daycare and invite the dog's owners to church. Can I have some of the money from our church's missions budget to buy Puppy Chow? No! No, you may not. This, what you're doing, is called Christianity. Can I get a witness on that at all? It's like we have to have our Christian lives in the world fully supported by someone else. It's called Christianity. It's called living out your faith. It's about reaching your neighbors. It's about personal evangelism. It's about being a light to this world. The church has a great commission. It leaves very little room to support personal ambition. This is how far we have fallen from the Great Commission. I cannot tell you how loud the thunder from God's throne must be when a church spends its time and its money on blessing people's pet animals. Can I get a witness on that? This rat doesn't need the gospel. God have mercy on our souls. We have made the Great Commission. He gave us the Great Commission. And we are doing things like this with it. Satan must laugh. May I ask you a question? What good would it be if we supported everything in front of us and failed to meet the mandate given us? Missions is when the church sends one of their own to go outside of their own people group for the proclamation of the gospel, the discipling of those who receive it, and adding them into the church. Everything else may be ministry, but let us not call the mission, let it be called the missions of the church. And church, we should not support everyone. We should not support just everyone who wants to do this, but those who show it first in their lives. Sarah, can I get an amen to that? Amen. Which brings us to our next question. Oh, by the way, that's Kent Poole's definition and mine. Now that we know what missions is from the Bible, as it relates to the church and who they send out, who is it that we should send from our midst? If anyone wants to go, is that the bar? Is that the bar? I had one person say to me, and they meant, well, who are we? Who are we to question whether or not someone should go into the mission field? And to that I would say, we're the church. We're the church. If there is any institution, any living bride on the face of the earth who has the responsibility to evaluate who it is that is sent for missions, it is the local church. Amen? If not us, who? To where? For what? We cannot abdicate that responsibility so that we can all feel good with one another. What should be the standard of who is sent? Well, there must be a standard. Have you ever been shocked when you heard that Billy and Susie want to be missionaries? Okay, I need you to come with me here. If you have ever been shocked at all in your life that someone wants to go into missions and you weren't quite understanding how that could be, signify by saying amen. Okay, good. Some of you are going, never. How'd that look? That's like a superhero. Never hurt my lower back there. So not so super. You think to yourself, I barely see them in church. I don't see them volunteering for anything. Church, I have a question. Why would the church send someone who does not exhibit a love for their local church? The church must assess things carefully. First, is what they are doing missions? We talked about that a little bit ago. Is it gospel proclamation, disciple making, church adding ministry? But then that's not enough. Are they in love with the gospel and are they heavily involved in edifying and building up the church they call home? How will they add to the body of Christ if they are not in love with the body of Christ? People who run around in different Christian ministries without being connected intimately to their local church do not know the full responsibility of true ministry. If I may put it into another analogy, they know what it is to date around within Christendom, but they do not know what it's like to be married. And dating around and being married, one is significantly more challenging than the other. Can I get a witness on that? That's the groaning of the Holy Spirit right there, all right? Running around in our people groups, I don't know why I'm dancing today, running around in our people groups, calling it missions, but not being married to the church, is like dating without knowing covenant commitment. We send too many people who date the church rather than those who are married to it. The next question we should ask ourselves when thinking about sending a missionary is this: is this person someone we would trust with significant responsibility in our own church? Have they stepped up and showed significant involvement and responsibility? Listen, folks, if you would not vote this person in as an elder or a deacon or a deaconess, why on earth would you send them to represent you as a missionary in Jesus Christ? Another question that rises from the Bible about sending a missionary from our midst is this: do they initiate discipleship relationships within the church? Within the church? Within this church or the church they call home? Do they initiate deep, meaningful relationships of discipleship with people in their church? Are they so involved in the church that the church knows them well? Because if they do not do it in the church, if they do not do it here, why would we send them somewhere else to do it? We must be willing to assess the fruitfulness of a person within the church before we send them out of the church. And then have the courage to say, by the way, can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? Okay, I got one. Doesn't take courage to say yes to everything. Have the courage to say yes, no, or here's one, not yet. Not yet. The church is the final authority on whether someone should go into the mission field. Not a parachurch organization, not an association, not a ministry, the church. The church is the final authority of whether or not someone should go into the mission field. Not a parachurch organization, not a mission agency, and the church should not abdicate that role. To send someone who does not exemplify these things, look at these things, If we don't send people who exemplify these things, what on earth are we doing? It's like, I put some examples together, and you're going to like the last one. We're going to build up to it. It's like a person who never tried out for a single basketball team saying they want to play for the what? The NBA. I want to go into the NBA. Really? Because I don't see you walk and chew gum at the same time. You want to be in the NBA, but you have never tried out or even sat on the bench of a basketball team. It's like a junk food junkie saying they want to be a dietitian. It's like a Dutchman saying, let's spend money. And my favorite here, it's like a Baptist saying, let's show grace. Our lives and our patterns, grab this. Our lives and patterns should represent the direction we want to head. A while back, I received an email from a young woman who attended our church years and years and years ago. Sunday morning only, involved in nothing, came late, left early, volunteered for nearly nothing, and when she did, she quit quickly. All of a sudden, I got an email that said she felt like God was calling her into women's missionary work. I scratched my head at my end of the computer and I wrote this back in love and in humility. Few things I said. Have others in your life acknowledged in you what you are feeling called to? In other words, it is easy for us to think and feel that God is calling us to something. We can convince ourselves of anything. One of the best ways to know if this is true is if others, grab these three words, in your church. Not those you're dating, spiritually speaking. Your church. Have others in your church, not your close friends, not your family, but your church, the ones you are serving, tell you that you should do this. How involved are you in your current church? It is my strong belief that God calls people who are wholeheartedly committed and serving in His church. Since the church is His body and His bride, the Lord will only call those who are in love with His bride and faithfully committed to her. I continue to write, get heavily involved and fully committed to one or two ministries in your church. This will give you a very small taste of what ministry will be like. It will also give you a small understanding of how much sacrifice it will involve and whether or not you're willing to make those sacrifices. Often those sacrifices will be less time, family, finances, freedom. I would strongly recommend faithfully serving in your local church for a long time before you are seeking to be sent out. Getting into ministry is not something or missions that happens quickly. People love to rush in and minister to the wine connoisseurs of Tuscan Italy. But we find that those who rush in will often be those who rush out. This is a start. I hope it helps. I never heard from her again. It was not the answer she wanted to hear. My friends, what you're about to hear is huge, huge. Follow me here. Why would God call anyone into full-time missions if they are not ministering in their church? How can God be calling us to do this if we don't do it where we've already been commanded to do it? Let me say that again, and if you understand it, I'm commanding you. No. To say amen. Why would God call us to do something somewhere else if we are already not doing it where He has commanded us to do it? Amen? Dad, I want to go across seas to clean people's rooms. Really? You don't clean your room. Yeah, but I feel God called by God to clean other people's rooms. Well, why don't you start with your room? And we'll talk about God's calling. My friends, before you can be sent out, now let's go here. Paul wrote within the local context of the church. What you're about to read is from the from Paul to the church to be applied in the local church context, not individually, not just to your friends or your age group, or people you really get along well with, or in things you want to do. This is written to the local church to be applied in context to the local church and can be only fully obeyed within the surrendering submission of the local church context. The gifts of the Spirit were given for the preaching or perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to unity in the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, until a perfect, complete, mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Jesus Christ. The church is God's appointed place to grow Christian character. Because within the church, you learn self-sacrifice. You learn to love people when they're ugly. Can I get a witness that sometimes we are ugly to one another? But you got to remain faithful, committed, submissive to one another. Philippians 2, considering the interest of others more than your own interest is a hard thing to do. The church is God's appointed place to grow Christian character, encourage faithfulness, and learn sound doctrine. Here, I hope you have your steel-tipped shoes on. My friends, churches are where faithful missionaries are made. My friends, before you can be sent out as a missionary, you must first be a faithful and fruitful member of the local church. In any agency and parachurch organization that does not require this before sending is probably more interested in their bottom line than they are advancing the kingdom of God and His plan. Mission flows out of a committed relationship to the church, not our own desires. Amen? Because if we're not doing it where we've already been commanded to do it, we're already in disobedience. And then when we come to the point when we send a gospel-loving, faithful church-attending, relationship-seeking, doctrine-loving believer from our midst, the church must do more than just cut him a check. Amen? Now, you know, as part of our 5-year vision plan, one of the priorities of Trinity Baptist Church will be to invest more money into missions. So this isn't some backdoor power money grab. But if we are going to invest more in missions, let's do it right. Amen? Let's do it right. Let's fulfill that great commission, not our own personal missions. And by the way, it doesn't mean, when you see this context here, it doesn't mean that only missionaries who are faithful at Trinity can we support and send out. No, that's not what I'm saying. We could be a supporting church of someone from another sending church, but they better have that sending church. Amen, church? They better have that home church that goes, I can testify, they're here when the doors are open, they're cultivating relationships, they're sharing the gospel, they're using their gifts for the building and edifying of this church, and we recognize it so much, but we can't help but send them out. Will you join us? 3 John chapter, there's only one chapter in 3 John 1 through 8. Join us in sending these faithful members from our church. But when we send them from our church, we must do more than just cut them a check. We need to do other things as well. And here it is. First of all, set appropriate support. We have gone from the missions closet, how many here remember the missions closet? To a half-opened bottle of Pepto-Bismol saying, you're welcome. To the video you just saw there of millennial missionaries, and it could be any age group, where we're literally living a vacation. We got to draw that to the middle. Amen, church? Set appropriate support. If your support doesn't pass the common sense sniff test, we must have the courage to say yes, no, or not yet. Number two. Maintain local church responsibility. And Pastor Poole asked me to add one more word, submission. Every time Pastor Poole calls me, he says, "You're my authority." Not me, you. Trinity's my authority. This is what ABWE has to do, but I will tell them no if you tell me something different. Wow. Wow. Responsibility and submission. Number two, regular communication. I don't know if you guys know this, but one time for many years, we had an agency that we supported that did not communicate with us at all, would not return our phone calls. This went on for years until finally, I think it was Michelle, was it you and I? We were like, "Hey, we're cutting checks to this agency and we haven't heard from them in years." They didn't respond to emails. They didn't respond to our calls. So we did what we felt the Lord led us to do. We stopped cutting them checks. And we thought maybe then, teens, you've been to college. You may not call your parents often. But all of a sudden, if your parents stop cutting you a check, you might pick up the phone. Can I get a witness on that? "Hey, Mom, did I tell you I love you? You've always been a pillar in my life. Hey, on something completely unrelated, my tuition isn't paid." So we stopped cutting them checks, thinking that will get them to return our call. Let's see what my notes say here, because I don't remember. So we decided to stop the checks so they would call us, and here it is, they never did. We were sending it out to outer space. And some alien out there was cashing it. This can't be missions. It's got to be regular communication. Number two, site visits. We should visit our missionaries on the field to encourage them, to edify them. And here's one, evaluate them. I'm evaluated every month. I sit down in front of nine men you elected as elders, and they go, "Show me what you did this month." And I make things up. Evaluating something is love. Accountability is love. It is protection. How can we say we value missions if we never evaluate or change who and what we support? And the last one, send some short-term help. For personal and physical help from their sending church. There is more to come on these things, but I've asked Pastor Jason, and our missions committee to begin to include these in our missions spending plan. My friends, for too long, missions has become anything and everything we want to do in the name of Christ. And if missions is everything, then missions is nothing. As a church, we must prioritize our mission support to gospel proclaiming, discipleship making, church adding missionaries who are sent out of the church because of their loving, faithful, fruitful participation in the church. Missions is not about our emotions. It is about advancing the Great Commission God's way alone. Imagine a local church. Imagine a local church, Trinity, where the congregation's missions to the nations is clear and agreed upon. The elders guide the congregation in strategic missions, where members see missions as a work of the church together. Where the church and the missionaries see the work as something they're doing together rather than personal, private activity of someone's individual desires. We must choose the best. Next week, how? Part one was, hey, mission starts with a robust, healthy, gospel-loving, bride-prioritizing church. It is the foundation. Then what must we prioritize? Gospel proclaiming, discipleship making, church adding, missionaries. Must be a priority. And we support and send those who are already obeying God in the church before we send them out of the church. And next week, how do we do this? Trinity, if we are going to prioritize missions, then we must do it God's way. His commission, His plan, His work. Thanks for bearing with me so far. 2 weeks from now, we'll begin to wade into 1 John, where it actually talks about how the church is supposed to live. Let's be missions-minded. In Jesus' name, we pray. Father, we come before you. Hard words from your book. May we submit ourselves to your plan, not what makes us feel good. Because at the end of the day, true worship is honoring you. And Lord, we pray these things and we ask these things. I ask that you would bless your church, Trinity Baptist Church, your people, your sheep, of which I am only an under-shepherd. And Father, I know that sheep only listen to an under-shepherd when the under-shepherd mimics the shepherd's voice. May my voice only echo you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love you guys. You're dismissed.